Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is part two of our discussion on natural treatments for depression with Dr. Peter Bongiorno. His new book, How Come They're Happy and I'm Not? The Complete Natural Program for Healing Depression for Good. And Dr. Bongiorno, we'll call you Peter. You're my good colleague here in New York City. Peter, we're focusing now on some of the plausible natural remedies for depression. So let's go through some of them. You know, if you were to put together an essential toolkit for someone experiencing depression, what are some of the things you might put into that?
Sure. Well, as we were talking about earlier, the first thing is to make sure that, you know, people start working on sleep, exercise, eating good foods, lowering inflammation in their body, working on stress. You know, all the basics need to be there. And then adding the right supplements can be very, very powerful to help balance the mind and the body. The first thing I like to think about for any person, is, you know, especially if I don't know their case and just want to get them started on something, is usually just a good multiple vitamin, a good fish oil, and a good quality probiotic. You know, probiotics themselves have been shown to be very helpful with mood disorder in terms of increasing certain neurotransmitters that help calm the brain and relax anxiety. It's also very good for kind of balancing the insides of the intestines and keep inflammation down. Fish oil is very beneficial for balancing inflammation, and it has scores of wonderful studies about helping mood and depression.
I have a question about that, because when you buy fish oil these days, things are getting very sophisticated. Mm-hmm. So when you look for a quality fish oil, you know, molecularly distilled, high potency, clean, and so on, they sometimes offer different combos of more EPA or alternatively more DHA, the two main ingredients. Do you have a fix on which of those two ingredients might play a greater role in alleviating depression?
It's a good question. You know, I know for brain development, they suggest that the DHA might be the most important. You know, most of the studies that I've seen show that about a good EPA to DHA ratio as it occurs in nature is probably a good place to start. So I usually recommend about 1,000 milligrams of EPA and about like 600 of the DHA, which seems to represent what's going on in nature. And some of them, DHA might be a little lower, or EPA might be a little higher, but around that range would be, I think, a good place to start.
And that might be comprised in what, three or four capsules of fish oil, of a good high-quality fish oil, 1,000 milligram?
The fish oil with a good concentration is usually three or four. If it's cod liver oil, it's usually about a tablespoon. Or if it's a liquid fish oil, it's usually about a teaspoon.
Okay. So that would be, over time, that should work. By the way, I've found that a fabulous intervention for patients with depression, but it doesn't work quickly. And I warn patients that, you know, don't expect it. It's like, you know, it's not going to make you feel better in a week or two or even a month. And, you know, maybe the results, you'll reap the benefits in 3, 6 or 12 months.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. It's a long-term plan and a long-term solution to help bring the body back in balance, to regenerate that nervous tissue, build better nervous tissue, and also kind of balance inflammation a bit.
Right. What else is on your...
Yeah, another one. I mean, the next one I would pick would probably be some vitamin D for a person. I prefer people get their levels checked. If they haven't gotten their levels checked and they just want to start on something, you know, 1,000 IUs of vitamin D is usually safe for most people. But like I said, if it's possible, I prefer they get a blood test and have it checked to see what their levels are, and then you can dose appropriately.
In terms of anti-inflammatories, a couple of months ago I did an interview with a researcher on curcumin. He's actually a cancer researcher at MD Anderson down in Texas, where they treat a lot of cancer patients. And he's an expert on the biochemistry of curcumin. And he found in a study with patients who were taking it for cancer purposes that their mood improved. So then he commissioned a pilot study. He found that in a toe-to-toe comparison with Prozac, curcumin did just as well. His name is Dr. A.J. Goel.
Interesting. Oh, is that the phytotherapy research study? I think.
Yeah, I believe so. I'm not sure what journal it was published in, but it was it was a small pilot study. I mean, it wasn't 800 patients, but in a small study, it was very impressive. Toe to toe with America's most popular antidepressant drug, really validating this theory that inflammation plays a role in depression.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that study, I think, was about 60 people, if that's the same one I'm thinking of. It, you know, which is a reasonable study. They did it for about 6 weeks. And, it does show us that you can get at least as good effects. Now, like we said before, the antidepressants don't have that great a record. So, again, so saying that a supplement's as good as an antidepressant doesn't necessarily...
Exactly.
But what it does tell me is that we can get people in the right direction using things that are much safer and helpful, I guess, is in the long term. You know, one of the interesting things about antidepressants is that even when they work, they tend to sort of deplete the system and mess up the serotonin and other neurotransmitters in the long term, whereas these supplements only seem to help and actually fix the system in the long term. So I think in the long term, we're still doing much better using the natural things.
Right. So what about some of the specific targeted herbal supplements like St. John's wort, SAMI, Rosuvin, Rhodiola, that whole family of specific agents that are supposed to enhance mood, amino acids and so on?
Mm-hmm. Well, I love, if I had to pick, if somebody just has very, very low mood, they're really not getting up, getting out of bed all that much. And one of my favorites is actually SAMI, which stands for S-adenosylmethionine. And it's actually been shown in some studies to work much quicker than antidepressants work when they work. So, we don't know fully how SAMI works. We know that there's a pathway that it's associated with called the methionine pathway that's associated with how neurotransmitters are made. And it seems like it really supports that pathway and can help move it through and help people make better neurotransmitters. And I tell you, I've seen, if I had to pick one that seems to have very good results, it's the SAMe. The drawback to SAMe is that sometimes it causes a little digestive disturbance, so you want to start a little slow with it. Mm-hmm. And also its cost. It tends to be kind of a costly one.
Right. And also there seems to be a dose... there's a dose consideration with it. So some people say, I took a little SAMe and it didn't really work. But what they may have required is a much higher dose. What are the doses that you're finding work on patients?
Usually I'll start people with 200 to 400 a day, and some people actually need 400 three times a day.
Yeah, that's what I'm finding sometimes.
So it's, and again, if we do the other things along with it, the sleep, the diet, the exercise, the lifestyle changes, the foods, then a lot of times you can go with lower doses of these things and get the effects you need because you're kind of removing some of the other challenges. Some people do need to dose high. The same thing with St. John's wort. A lot of times people will underdose it, and they need, a good 1,800 milligrams a day.
1,800. Okay. The standard dose is often that is recommended is 300 three times daily.
Right.
But you're finding that some patients require the higher dose.
Yes, exactly. And of course, people should look for good quality supplements, making sure that if they say it's St. John's wort, that there's actually good quality St. John's wort in there.
Okay. And then some of this may apply to people who are taking this as an alternative to medication, and SAMe is pretty safe if you're not taking medication. But if you are taking medication, any considerations there? I'm actually thinking more St. John's wort, the one that might compete.
Well, there's even studies that suggest St. John's wort can help medications work better. There's actually a study on people who are taking Plavix, who the drug didn't work very well, and then when they started taking St. John's wort, they found it actually worked better at a lower dose and didn't have side effects. So it actually works in both directions. We should, instead of just demonizing herbal medications because of interactions, we should actually start looking where they can help us too. But to be safe, especially St. John's wort, because it's known to change how the liver processes drugs, it's a really good idea to check in with your physician. As far as taking them with antidepressant medication, generally I find the natural supplements can be used with them. There's actually studies about using SAMe with conventional medications, about using things like tryptophan and 5-HTP. with conventional medications. So, you know, I think if somebody's going to do that, they should certainly make sure they work with a healthcare practitioner who's well-versed in these things and could look for any kind of side effects. But when done appropriately, that is something that's a possibility. And oftentimes when people want to wean off medications, which I think in the conventional world is really not thought about or studied or done, I think these natural supplements can be very, very helpful towards that process.
You know, I think no consideration of depression would be complete without some of our new insights about methylation and the role that not just folic acid, good old-fashioned folic acid that you might find in a B complex, but a special type of folate, which is called methylfolate, the role that that might play. And this is actually something that's being capitalized on by drug companies because they're making add-on supplements that are to be used for patients receiving antidepressants, supplements like Deplin, which is actually a high-potency methylfolate that is patented by the pharmaceutical company Merck.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, and one of the tests that I recommend in the book is a genetic test called the FR test. It stands for methyl tetrahydrofolate reductase, and it's checking for a mutation or a change in someone's DNA that doesn't allow them to process folate properly. And it's been shown that when people have this mutation, that there's a higher opportunity for things like depression and even for cardiovascular disease and a few other issues. So, and using that form of folate that you mentioned, which is basically the natural form found in vegetables, in green vegetables, can be very helpful in helping traverse that problem and helping people feel better.
And parenthetically, there's a campaign underway by the Food and Drug Administration to take natural folate off the list of allowed supplements and basically to hand a monopoly to pharmaceutical companies who are trying to protect their patent, their use patent for these types of folate for treatment of dementia and treatment of depression. So this is something that I want to alert our listeners to. Yeah. If you want the 411 on that particular political issue, go to anh-usa.org. That's an organization that I'm a board member of because there's a big campaign underway now to get people to sign petitions and to talk to their legislators about making sure that we still have access to these wonderful natural treatments that may be so germane to our mental health.
Yeah, you know, Ron, thank you for posting that. I saw you posted that yesterday. I didn't know about that myself. I thought that was really fascinating and sad at the same time. And, you know, the interesting thing is, you know, when the conventional, I think, medical system commandeers natural supplements, they typically put them in very high dose, often give binders and colors, like which is what Deplin has, which is Deplin is the methylfolate, but the prescription form. And usually at these very high doses, and to tell you the truth, it's not clear to me that always using those high doses makes a whole lot of sense. There's very little in terms of study that really suggests that everyone with an antidepressant should be taking those very high forms of folate. In my opinion, I think in some cases it could be pushing certain mechanisms that might not be so helpful.
Right. So, and as we understand more and more about MTHFR, it's a lot more complicated than just give folate. There's all these different pathways and there are different variations of the mutation. I mean, people conduct entire weekend seminars to try and understand it, and you basically have to go back to college and medical school to remember your biochemistry and see where that fits in.
Yeah, and a lot of times when you overload something, you like a folate, you'll end up throwing off something else.
Yes.
down another pathway. So my feeling is, it's better to start gentler. Start with the food. Start with the with maybe small doses of a high quality thing, and see how people do. And then if depending on what happens, then maybe consider something like a higher dose like that.
Okay. This is a good point for you to provide us with a little bit of an update on naturopathic medicine. You, as someone who's active in the naturopathic movement, Vice President of the New York Association of Naturopathic Physicians, tell us a little bit about the status of naturopaths in this country, because I've been interviewing many of the folks that I interview on this program on Intelligent Medicine are very gifted NDs, naturopathic doctors, whose training is superb, who are very scientifically oriented, who in many ways are far better educated and better informed than MDs and DOs are, and are really in the forefront of natural medicine in this country. So what's happening on the political front with access to naturopathic physicians, particularly here in New York State?
Well, thank you so much for asking, Ron. Well, first of all, in the country in general, we have about 17 states now, I think 18, that are licensed for naturopathic medicine. Maryland was actually licensed about a month ago. And in those states, generally, we can practice as a primary care physician, and depending on the state, do most of the things that a person would expect a primary care physician to do. In 2005, when California was licensed, the American Medical Association, which is the National Association for Conventional Medical Doctors, I think really woke up to the fact that naturopathic medicine was here and people are interested in it, and they really started on a national level to vehemently oppose naturopathic medical licensing. And in New York State here, I'm vice president of the New York Association of Naturopathic Physicians, and I've been working almost 10 years on various bills going through the Senate and the Assembly to license naturopathic medicine, and we are very, very opposed by the conventional medical doctors here. And they're just, they're doing everything they can to completely squash us and not allow us to practice. And really, they're just stopping the public from being able to see a naturopath as their physician.
That's a little bit like being vice president of the Ukrainian National Committee in Crimea these days, because...
I have to say, Ron, if medical doctors were all like you, medicine would be in such a far better place and would be so much more integrated, and there would be a number of us. I think part of the issue is this scarcity mentality, this idea of, well, if you guys come in, then there isn't enough for me.
Right. It's a zero-sum game, and that there's competition and so on, and that you will suck patients away from conventional doctors. But the kind of stuff that most naturopaths do, is really what many conventional physicians hate to do, which is to sit down and discuss at length people's diets and lifestyle, and to talk about conditions that are chronic and not properly treated in a quick fix fashion by medicine. So physicians should or regular MDs should rejoice that naturopaths are joining the team.
Yeah, and look, the fact is, we believe in abundance in general. There's plenty for everybody. And, it was interesting because even the acupuncturist wrote a letter opposing naturopathic physicians in New York. And I'm an acupuncturist as well, separately trained as an acupuncturist. And I was disappointed. And really what that tells me is that, that scarcity mentality and people being afraid, I think, sometimes really trump what's best for everybody, especially the public and the patients.
So, it's a trade guild issue, I think. It's sort of like...
The hope is we can educate and move through that, because the fact is, if one person does better, it's better for everybody else. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there who need this kind of medicine and are very sick, and the more of us who are working towards it, the better it is for everybody. If anyone's out there is listening and is interested in supporting licensure of naturopathic medicine, the New York Association has a website, nyanp.org, naturopathic, New York Association of Naturopathic Physicians. And we have very easy ways to write letters to your legislators. We're going to have a lobby day and go up again this year and keep fighting until it happens. It will happen. It's just going to take some time.
Well, that's great. So an additional call to action would be to get this book, How Come They're Happy and I'm Not. It's a great primer on natural therapy for depression and for optimizing mood. The author, our guest, Dr. Peter Bongiorno. And what else? You have a website?
Yes. My clinic website is www.innersourcehealth.com. That's innersourcehealth.com. And then my personal website is drpeterbongiorno, drpeterbongiorno.com.
Okay, so in case you don't know how to spell buongiorno, it's B-O-N-G-I-O-R-N-O. What's the matter? You don't speak Italian?
Hey.
All right, so, and in addition, you are part of a clinic. You do see patients under the auspices of a clinic in New York. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, we have a clinic here in New York City, just south of Penn Station, and also one in Huntington, New York. I have a practice with my wife, Dr. Pina Logidice.
Okay.
And we actually have, we also have associates, Dr. Ann Williams here in New York City and Dr. Siobhan Bleakney in Huntington. And we're all naturopaths and we do acupuncture. And it's just such a privilege to be here in New York and serving the public here and, you know, and listening to what's happening with people and figuring out ways to bring healing.
Indeed it is. Aurel, I want to thank you very much for a great contribution. Your book is excellent and serves as a wonderful primer to how to cope with depression naturally. Thanks, Dr. Peter Buongiorno. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.